All right. Thank you, everybody, and welcome to the Planning and Development Committee of the Whole number 3. Thank you to our interpreters, Lethea, James, and Jeannie. We will start tonight with an adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion for the adoption of the agenda? Councillor Sweeney moves, and a seconder. Councillor Stevenson seconds. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you. There are no minutes this evening. Are there any declarations of interest? Seeing none, no delegations, no deferred business, and right into new business. So 5A, request for decision, survey sketch application number SK23-001. Samantha will be presenting. Go ahead, Samantha.
Thank you, Chair. Good evening. Due to the construction of the new city operations building, the existing municipal impound lot has had to be relocated from building 1549. This survey application is being initiated by city staff to create a new approximately 3,000 square meter parcel in the North 40 for the impound lot. Please see the location map in Attachment 1 and the survey sketch plan in Attachment 2 for location details. The survey will also create a 42-meter-wide road parcel that will provide access to the new impound lot and accommodate the existing drainage ditch that runs along the road. The second parcel, Parcel B, will also be created adjacent to the new impound lot. Parcel B will be approximately 2,000 square meters, and it may be retained for city purposes or disposed of according to the land administration bylaw. Parcel A and B are both currently designated open space and zoned open area, so a general plan and zoning bylaw amendment will be required to permit industrial uses on the lot, including for the impound lot and for any future development on Parcel B. The options are to approve the survey application, refer the item back to staff, or refuse the survey application. The legal survey is estimated to cost approximately $15,000 to $20,000, and city staff are recommending that the Planning and Development Committee recommend that council approve survey sketch plan SK23-001 to create two new lots.
Thank you, Samantha. Do we have a motion? Deputy Mayor Shepherd moves, and a seconder. Councillor Sweeney seconds. Do we have any comments or questions for Samantha? Oh, Mayor Awa, go ahead.
Queen Meek Shawata.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Queen Meek Samantha.
Thank you, Samantha.
Apparently, Nakhtunga.
My question is,
Asyego ako sure na mga taubulong ni Tan na ako. Tukisitiya ko matunyo ko.
The only option or if there will be other options is what I want clarified on. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mayor Awa. Samantha, were you able to hear the question?
Unfortunately, I missed just the middle of that question, if it could be repeated.
I believe the mayor was asking if there's only, if this is the only option for the lots or if there was other areas. Is that correct?
Yep. Yes.
Oh, just 1 second, Samantha.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair, Samantha. I think my question is that in this lot, there's a road. Is there a new construction on the road, or is the same road will be, won't change? Thank you, Samantha.
Thank you, Mayor Awa. Go ahead, Samantha.
Thank you, Chair. I'd actually like to pass this question to Michelle, who would have more information about that.
Thank you, Chair. and thank you for the question. I think if I understand, Mayor, you're seeking clarification for the road parcel that's being surveyed. It's surveying the existing road. So there was no proposed changes to the road at this location. So this section of the road is unsurveyed. So in creating the two parcels, which are shown as A and B on attachment one, we will also be surveying that portion of the road along with those parcels.
Thank you, Michelle. Do you have a follow-up? Good. Any further questions? Seeing none, I will call for a vote. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you. Our next item, item B, request for decision, development permit application number DP23-010 and request for variance. And once again, back to you, Samantha.
Thank you. The applicant is proposing to construct an approximately 18 square meter residential addition onto the existing vestibule they have on their single detached home in Apex. The addition will also include a larger unenclosed deck and staircase. One variance to the interior side yard is required to support the application. The options are to approve development permit application DP23-0010, and the request for variance, refer the application back to staff for further analysis, or refuse the development permit and request for variance. The proposed addition is consistent with the general plan designation and zoning on the lot, and the one variance is required to reduce the minimum interior side yard setback from 3 meters to 2.2 meters. This reduction of the required side yard setback was determined to be minor and supportable due to the distance from the adjacent house and the small difference in the setback that's required. The staff are recommending that the Planning and Development Committee recommend that Council approve the development permit application DP23-10 for Lot 7, Block 8, Plan 1986, to permit the expansion of a vestibule and approve a variance to Section 9.4 of the Zoning Bylaw to reduce the minimum interior side yard setback from 3 meters to 2.2 meters. Quinney.
Thank you, Samantha. Is there a motion for this item? Deputy Mayor Shepherd moves. Councillor Kwasa seconds. Any comments or questions to the motion? Seeing none, I will call for a vote. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you very much. On to our next item this evening. Item C is a request for decision, land disposal bylaw. Approval of land disposal bylaw, lots 574, plan 1571. So that will be Michelle presenting.
Thank you, Chair. The Iqaluit Elders Society has requested to lease a small parcel of the city land known as Lot 574. The lot is part of a larger block of land that the society is consolidating for its elders housing project. On attachment one, the map, I think, illustrates the portion that they are seeking quite well. So the blue outline on this map shows all the lots that they are in the process of consolidating or acquiring for this project. And the small red triangle that you see in the bottom corner on the right is the land in question. That's lot 574. The options are to approve the land disposal bylaw, refer the bylaw back to staff for further analysis, or option three, to refuse the land disposal bylaw. In terms of the land administration bylaws, so the authority here is to draws on section 10 of the land administration bylaw, which permits council to dispose of a portion of a lot if the intent is to
Hi, Michelle. I don't know if you can hear us here, but you're frozen on the screen there. And so are you, Samantha. So you can give it a moment. Okay. I'm not entirely sure where you left off there, Michelle. Oh, am I muted? Hello, welcome back. Can you hear me now? Okay, awesome. Perfect, just a brief technical difficulties. Thank you everybody for your patience. I'm not entirely sure where we lost you there, Michelle.
You just start over.
Yeah.
Okay, I had talked about the options, the three options, and then I was just into the...
Yeah.
Is that maybe where... Okay.
Yeah, I believe that's exactly where. Thank you. Continue,
okay,
please.
Well, okay. Thank you, Chair. I'll just restart after the options that were presented. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about the permissions in the land administration bylaw. So it's section 10 of the land administration bylaw that permits council to dispose of a portion of a lot if the intent is to resurvey and consolidate the lot within 2 years. So that is the intent here, is to lease a portion of lot 574. With the block to be resurveyed as a condition of the future development approval when that comes forward. Regarding pricing, the Land Administration Bylaw Section 52 provides direction here. So generally, land is to be priced based on market value. However, it does allow council to use other methods of pricing where there's unique circumstances or to achieve a certain objective. Now, in this case, we don't know the market value of lot 574, but an appraisal could be obtained. There is also no assessed value for lot 574. So usually in these cases, what we do is we look at the assessed value of the adjacent lot. This is the assessed land value only, not with improvements. And in this case, if we use the assessed value, the lot price would be $28,280. And also just point out that Section 52 also allows a 30% reduction on the market value of a lot when the proposed development is providing a community benefit. In terms of costs, if the city did want to proceed with a land appraisal for 574, this would cost approximately $3,000 to perform, and that money would come from the Land Development Reserve Fund. The recommendation that we are presenting to committee is there's three recommendations. One is to give first and second reading to the land disposal bylaw for lot 574. The second is to direct staff to obtain a land appraisal for lot 574 and then establish the lot price based on 30% less of the value. Or an assessed land value of $28,280 in this case, whichever is less. So take the lower of those two numbers. And then the third is to direct staff to dispose of a portion of Lot 574 to the society. And this would be subject to the transfer of Lot 1, Block 110, Plan 2659. So this is Building 316. This is the Rennie property, because this property has not yet been transferred to the society. And that is expected to be transferred by July 1st, which is the closing date in their sale agreement. Kui Anamik.
Thank you very much, Michelle. Do we have a motion on the floor? Councillor Amarpala, seconder. Can you talk about it first? All right. Deputy Mayor Shepherd, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I'd love to find a way to support this project, given the intent of this development. I'm just looking at how much flexibility we have in the bylaw. And thinking about getting, there's two ways to look at an appraisal of this parcel of land. Right now, it's almost worthless. It's undevelopable. Yeah, in the, by the size, the shape, it's really old, useless land on its own. You know, to do an appraisal on that would probably be a fairly low value. Looking at it, once amalgamated with the rest of the lot, the lots around it, it definitely has more value there. So I'm just wondering what method we would be asking for in an appraisal. Are we getting an appraisal of the value of that land as is on a standalone basis? Or would it be, you know, taking into consideration the amalgamated state afterwards? And I'm just wondering, additionally to that, does the bylaw speak anywhere to how we value land? When specifically, does it mention how we value land when there is no assessed value or known cost associated with it?
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Michelle?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Thank you, Deputy Mayor, for the question. I guess to answer the first question, my understanding, the way land appraisals are done is based on highest and best use of that particular property. So they would look at that property in a more isolated way. It's a residual small parcel. And in fact, the portion that we would be leasing would be smaller than the entire lot 574, because there's buried infrastructure. So about a third of that lot is actually buried infrastructure. So that would be that portion would be retained by the city and not leased. And we would pass all that information to the appraiser and make sure that they understand that this is actually a very, this is like about a 200 square meter residual parcel of land. So that's my understanding. So I'm not a professional appraiser, but I would think it would be highly likely that would be a fairly low number in terms of the value of that property, but we wouldn't know until we asked for that appraisal. And the second question, the land administration bylaw in the pricing section, which is section 52, it basically presents four options for pricing land: market value, assessed value, and development costs or replacement costs. So the two that I didn't talk about are development costs. So there's no development costs for this area because it was developed a long time ago, and we don't have we don't have any records of what the land would have cost to develop at that time. So in those situations, we're directed by the bylaw to use replacement costs. And replacement costs are the cost of land on a per square meter basis in the last comparable subdivision. So generally that would be like the last one would be Jomi Court. And so that would, the replacement costs in that case would be about $209 per square meter. So that's even, that's higher. The assessed value is $140 per square meter. So the last option is the market value, which is the number that we don't know.
Thank you, Michelle. And follow up, Deputy Mayor. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, it doesn't seem like there's a door open to just relying on a zero development cost and just contributing this to the project. So in the suggested motions, the particularly number two, you know, if we obtain a land appraisal, establish the lot price, can we price it at 30% with a 30% reduction to that appraised value or 30% below that 28,280 number? It just, if you remove that comma, it can be read two different ways. And I'm just wondering if the intent is to the lesser of 30% below appraised value or 28,280 or 30% less of 28,280. And I know that was a lot of numbers. I'm sorry.
Thanks, Deputy Mayor. Back to you there, Michelle.
thank you, Chair. So unfortunately, the wording in Section 52 of the Land Administration Bylaw is to permit a 30% reduction of market value. It doesn't say 30% less of lot price, which is more kind of could be used, established using different methods. In this case, Section 52D, I've just opened the Land Administration Bylaw here. It says, if council wishes to reduce the price of a parcel to support a proposed development that will represent a community benefit, the market value of a new parcel may be reduced by up to 25%, and the market value of an old parcel, which is the case here, may be reduced by up to 30%.
Thank you, Michelle. Do we have any further questions at this time? Seeing none.
Can we clarify the motion?
So the motion.
That's okay.
Yeah. So the motion was for to follow staff recommendations as written, and it was Swainy who moved. Councillor Amarpala who moved. Is there anyone who seconded? Councillor Stevenson. Any other further comments or questions? Seeing none, I will call for a vote. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you. And the next item is a memo for the land disposal process for on-the-land facilities proposed by nonprofit organizations. So once again, that is Michelle presenting. Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you, Chair. So in the past year, there's been at least three nonprofit organizations that have contacted the planning department to request assistance in acquiring land that is suitable for their land-based programs. So these organizations have very specific land needs. It includes outdoor recreation, traditional activities, and other land-based programming. A few of them around health and well-being. The challenge here is generally the city does not have lots that are surveyed for this type of purpose. Usually when lots are surveyed, they're for community development. So for residential or community lots or commercial lots in an established subdivision. But these organizations want, because of the nature of their programming, and their purpose of the organization is to be out on the land. And the other challenge is that everything outside of the kind of the surveyed subdivisions is in an open space zone. And generally the open space zone does not allow permanent structures. It's very limited and very specific. So the purpose of this memo is to outline a process for potentially identifying, surveying, and disposing of lots to specific nonprofit organizations where they have specific and unique land needs. And as part of this, what we're proposing to get your feedback is also to process an amendment to the zoning bylaw to address facilities for on-the-land programming. So specifically, this would be to introduce a new definition into the zoning bylaw, and we're open to names, but the best name we came up with was on-the-land facility. And it would basically be a new conditional use in the open area zone. And it would be, it would allow developments that support land-based programming. And you can see in the memo there, we've provided a potential definition that could be included in the zoning bylaws. So if there was support for that approach, we could bring prepare a zoning amendment and bring that back to committee. Just note that we could also have specific criteria, use criteria around that use. So there could be, and that could address things like building height, size of building, setbacks, or any other limitations or conditions, such as specifically waste removal, would be an important one. So in terms of how to come forward with these proposals for on-the-land facilities, what we'd like to propose as a process is a two-step process, and it would be intended to give information to council to determine whether disposal to this particular organization would be supported prior to coming forward with any kind of formal applications or surveys that would be required. So step one would be the proposal. So the proposal would be brought forward to committee for discussion, and we would ask that organization to maybe make a very brief presentation or be available to answer any of committee's questions. And we've listed there some of the things that could be included in that proposal, such as the profile of the organization, the type of programming, what the benefits to the community are, the scale of development, how big the land needs to be, the land area. And then depending on the outcome of that presentation and discussion, the staff could bring back the decisions that would be needed to follow through on that first discussion. So that would be like a survey, so a sketch plan for approval, and some sort of a land disposal bylaw for that as well. And just the last part of the memo under land disposal options. So this is on the middle of page two. So there's certain things that would need to be determined of how to dispose of this. And the land administration bylaw does provide a fair amount of flexibility for council to choose how to do this. We've put a little thought behind it, but it probably needs a bit more discussion around it. But our feeling is the direction that we're going here is direct disposal. So this is the, if you recall back in January, an amendment to the land administration bylaw was approved by committee and council to allow direct disposal to nonprofit organizations if council chooses to. So given that we're trying to address unique land needs, this is the approach we're recommending. However, the land administration bylaw does allow for a call for proposals. So if you thought more than one organization was interested in a certain parcel of land or a certain area of land, then it could be opened to a call, a proposal-based system. In terms of lease types, the standard that the city uses are equity leases. However, we think that in this situation, it may be preferred to use either a standard lease where the organization does not accrue equity in the land. So that equity stays with the city. And standard leases are also might be beneficial to the organization too, because it doesn't require an upfront cost. It's just it would be an annual fee, rental fee. And there's also a temporary lease, which is a maximum of 5 years. So that might be another way of assessing, maybe a temporary lease at the beginning to see if the organization builds and they build and are maintaining the property. And then maybe a longer term standard lease could be provided in the future. And then just lot pricing. There's if we're going to a standard lease, there's not really, because standard leases have not been done in the city for quite some time, it may be necessary to think about having a policy of how the annual fees are going to be calculated for a standard lease or a temporary lease. And so we have prepared kind of a draft policy that could be considered. And so it's kind of similar to the land use permit fee policy, where it just provides some guidelines and some ranges of percentages based on assessed value or market value to apply, but allows council that discretion to decide which one should apply in particular cases. So we've attached that to the memo. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. So are you looking for a motion tonight to amend the zoning bylaw, I guess, is the beginning of this, or just information for now?
Yes, Chair. We're really asking for feedback and whether we can provide some direction and feedback, so and whether we should come back to committee with something more formal. If this is a direction that they would like to see, staff spend more, before we spend any more time and energy on this, like, is this something that's of interest? And also because we have had these three specific requests from at least three organizations that are looking for land, and we don't really have it's not really an established process for addressing that, but all of them are providing what we think meets the definition of a community benefit. So we wanted to bring that forward in this way.
Thank you for the clarification, Michelle. Deputy Mayor Shepherd has a question or comment for you. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think it's important to provide access to the land for the right organizations that are doing the right programming. I agree with your comment earlier that equity leases are probably not the right vehicle to make this happen. If we're fortunate enough to ever pass the land plebiscite to let us go to fee simple, any equity lease we have issued on the land would turn to fee simple automatically as well. I think it's important for our city that we go that route eventually to alleviate the burden on administration. But I don't necessarily think it's right for various random parcels across our open space. But I'm just wondering, are the developments being proposed so significant that they need to raise leasehold title to accomplish something that can't be done with a land use permit or by other means?
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Michelle?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. And the question. Our feeling is that the land use permit, because it is generally not the suitable mechanism when we're talking about permanent structures. So generally, it's been okay for things like, you know, gravel fill or sea can storage, but when it comes to permanent structures, it's hard, and also the land use permit is only for a maximum of three years at council's discretion. So if somebody wants to, you know, apply for funding and to build, even if it's a kind of a modest cabin, it may be more difficult to, we thought maybe it would be more difficult to obtain funding if there was not some sort of a tenure to the land through a lease.
Thank you, Michelle. I believe the Deputy Mayor has a follow-up. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, I support this in the long term without question. I'm just wondering, should we finish our cabin land use access policies before we start looking at allocating additional open space land to other people? Like, we haven't really finalized what we're doing with our own residence cabins. You know, should we be to the place now where we're going to raise leasehold title for organizations so they can build permanent structures on the land when, you know, we haven't identified where that might be suitable? I know there's a lot of work that would go into a policy like this, but maybe we start with the small issue first and resolve our cabin policy and then look to doing leasehold title for larger developments in the future.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Does anyone else have any comments or input for Michelle? All right, Councillor Kwasa, go ahead.
Kasihkan lego tuk syarak semalam mata. Taman natab is mak syaksia uting na syarak pop. Apa kuditun nakari? Kanu itu baru ni tuk syarak tukat lapa baru ke apa gaya nakar wapunga. Tanda ukau sih uting dulu is mak kau ko makua joglo angun na syukti. Nakalera bekasu mumatari awane akukitui nunangan ni nuk mitakusi mago matai menai cumi tai menai cumi isu makau tu kaunga. Emana pekodil datar pitakangi keluakne. Tana isu makitui nakaya pekodil datai nak. Kisu parungne kanuiti parungne dai kutuk serak tui. Isu masih masal nang matak.
What did they consider when they were compiling this application? That is what I was thinking of, Chairperson.
Thank you, Councillor Kwasa. Michelle?
Thank you, Chair, Councillor Kwasa. I apologize, but there's something wrong with the interpreter audio. It's very, very low, and we're unable to hear over Councillor Kwasa speaking.
I'll give it back to Councillor Kwasa. I think he'll re-explain. Hold on.
Yeah, I apologize for that.
Thank you, and to make sure that I'll just briefly explain what it is in English. My main question was, You mentioned that there were few that were interested in doing something, and therefore this need came about. And I'm just curious, what types of interest are there out there? And I just wanted to make a little point before you answer that question. The first thing that came to my mind was a hunter's market area. We see these happening in cities like Nuuk, where they have a market area and selling their country food. That's the first thing that came to my mind. But anyways, that question is mainly, what types of interest are there out there?
Thank you, Councillor Kwasa. Michelle?
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Actually, maybe Samantha, if it's okay, Chair, if I could just, because Samantha's mostly been corresponding with the three organizations, and I think there's no issue in just letting you know who these organizations are briefly, if that's okay.
Yeah, thank you, I guess Samantha.
Okay.
Sorry, I was muted. So the we have one organization that provides on-the-land programming, traditional knowledge, teaching, and other kind of land-based activities for children and adults with fetal alcohol spectrum disorders. An additional organization is working with GN Mental Health. It's called Embrace Life. And their intent is to provide a cabin for families for things like grief counseling and also for other kind of therapeutic programming that's related to getting up on the land, getting away from the city for that type of programming. And the third is an Inuit women's organization that just reached out as kind of a preliminary outreach, Paktuit. I hope I'm saying that close to correctly. They're looking for a cabin space to run their programming for similar purposes, on-the-land programming, traditional knowledge. All three have some restrictions in their ability to have a cabin that's located too far from the city, or a cabin or a facility, a space where people can go, where they have enough access to bring people who may not have complete, who may have some accessibility challenges, and as well as at the frequency they're intending to run the programs, having a very distant cabin that's outside of the municipal boundary wouldn't necessarily fit what they're looking for.
Thank you, Samantha, and thank you, Michelle. You're good, Councillor Kwasa. Awesome. Mayor Awa, on to you. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to speak English just to make sure that it goes through. I think I'm going to support this, but with the condition that if we make a bylaw that these could be only non-profit organization. That was my suggestion. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor Awa. I think it is maybe listed in here. I'm not sure. Michelle, is that specified in your memo?
Yes, Chair. So the you can see the proposed definition that we're providing on the first page. So on the land facility would need a building or structure dedicated to land-based cultural, recreational, educational, social or health programming administered by a government department or agency or nonprofit organization that provides a community benefit. So in this case, it would allow not only a nonprofit, but a government department or agency as well. And we point to the example, one of the examples is Embrace Life, which is the cabin, our understanding would be kind of a partnership between health and social services and the Embrace Life organization.
Thank you, Michelle. Councillor Stevenson, go ahead.
Thank you very much. I share Councillor Shepherd's concern about moving forward with this policy while we currently have an unenforced cabin building ban on our green space, an inability to seeming inability to be able to restrict those people who just want to build willy-nilly wherever they want on city space, city green space. And yet we're moving into a policy for groups, totally deserving groups who have good reason to want to have legal cabins, I'm sure. But we don't have a policy for legal cabins for regular citizens at the moment. And I feel like this is jumping ahead of where we should be at. I think we need to resolve that cabin issue. And I struggle with moving too far forward with this while we haven't resolved that. It feels strange to think that we're going to give people leases, not for some recreational building, but cabins. We're talking about three cabins is what they just suggested, while we've got a cabin ban and while we can't figure out the cabin problem that we have sprouting up all over. Obviously, I'm not against cabins and recreational use. I have my own cabin on land and think that it's one of the healthiest and best activities that citizens of Iqaluit can do. But we have a responsibility to make it safe and appropriate and organized for people in the lands that we're covering. You know, all the staff is asking right now is do they want us to keep going with this? Maybe yes, but I do think also they need to be directed to work on the other problem as well, simultaneously at minimum.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. It's more of a comment. Mayor Awa, further. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe that we could probably make some rules apply that this only temporary. I'm just envisioning that you can put the tent in that certain spot where the organization requests and take it off and after summer. I'm just envisioning make it some sort of a rule like that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mayor Awa. Let's get more of a comment. Deputy Mayor Shepherd, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I think the intent behind these requests are for more permanent structures, and our residents want permanent structures as well. You know, I definitely support a path forward for everybody to be able to access land, but I think it's important that we have a comprehensive policy that covers both needs. I'd like to see the cabin issue tied into this and maybe cover both topics in the same bylaw and same policies that come forward. We've got to resolve both of these issues. We need to be able to provide access to our land for recreational purposes, for programming purposes. The blanket ban we have in place now is not working. It's not going to work long-term, nor is it fair to our residents to have it blocked off long-term. And we can't just use that as an excuse to block organizations who want access as well, but we need to come up with a policy that's fair to everybody. And I think the best path forward is a comprehensive policy covering both issues.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Councillor Stevenson, further comments? Go ahead.
Thank you. I think that's a reasonable suggestion, and I'd be supportive of that. I forgot when I had the mic the last time, two things I wanted to be sure in a policy for a nonprofit that's building a building, that there be clauses that when they leave the property that they return it to its original state. So, you know, I know of three cabins down the bay that were owned by nonprofits that don't exist anymore, and they just got abandoned. One got salvaged, and the other is falling down. But just that should be a caveat of any lease, that they return it. And the other thing I was going to say is unrelated to this topic, but we need to sort out the interpretation issue with the Zoom, because they can't hear it at all. I couldn't hear it at all last week, period. Like, you can tell that somebody's talking, but you can't hear the translation. You can, the voice of the person who's speaking is over top of the interpreters. So I don't know what the issue is. It wasn't always the case, so something has changed, but we need to figure it out so that people can speak in an Inuktitut and be understood by staff. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. Oh, Mayor Awa, go right ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to support Kyle and Romaine suggestion. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you, everybody. I guess we weren't looking for a motion for that tonight, just a little bit of feedback for Michelle. So that, if there's no further comments, that brings us on to adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn? Councillor Stevenson moves. Councillor Amorapoulos seconds. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you, everybody, and we will see you next time.
Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday.